all stand together this morning. Let's sing this with all of our hearts this morning. We'll have your way. Just have your way, Lord. We're like Samson. We're asking, Lord, just one more time this morning. What a tremendous outpouring of the presence of God in the service last night. How many enjoyed yourself in the presence of the Lord? Don't you just love that? I don't know anything in this world that's any better than being in the presence of God. And I just thank Him for His visitation. He didn't have to do that, but He did it, and He blessed us this morning. We're just so thankful. We don't... Brother Pat showed me the request this morning. It was a blank piece of paper. I said, well, God answered everything last night. What else could you ask for this morning?
Amen.
But we do want to continue to remember Sister Mary and her prayers, and Brother Ron and Sister Vicki. And God is mindful of these needs. And let's be in prayer for Brother Joe this morning, that God will just strengthen him and his body and give him a supernatural strength. I know God is able.
Yes.
Amen. And I know you have something on your heart this morning. Just make it known by an uplifted hand. God sees it. He knows what we need today. Amen. Brother Jonathan, come today. Let us pray.
Amen. You happy to be here this morning? Amen. I tell you, there's no other place I'd rather be than right here. What God did last night, He'll do again this morning. Why? Because He loves you. Amen. He loves each and every one of us. Remember, Sister Mary, as we pray for her, Brother Jeffrey texted me just a few minutes ago. They're going to take her to the Mayo Clinic over there tomorrow to do the surgery on her bone and her spine. So let's just remember God to take the doctor's hands and be with her. And how many believes God can take full control of the situation? Amen. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we love you, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord. Lord, sometimes I don't think we thank you enough for all that you do for us. Lord, I wonder, Lord, sometimes that through every aspect in our lives, how much you keep us from, how much sickness you keep away from our families, that we don't never in turn thank you for it, Lord. And this morning, Lord, we come to worship you, Lord, and together around your word and together around your name, and to say that our lives are here because of you, Lord. Lord, we're happy because of you. We have joy because of you. We have peace because of you. We have healing and salvation because of you, Lord, and it's all in your lovely name that we have, Lord. And Lord, we have needs left in our lives, Lord, and though you come and you move in a magnificent way, and Lord, the enemy's still at battle, Lord, and he's still putting sicknesses upon us and troubles upon us, but Lord, every time he moves, you move, Lord, and We lift up Brother Ron and Sister Vicky this morning. Sister Mary, as she would go back to the doctor tomorrow, Lord, as you would move in a magnificent way, Lord, and the doctors would scratch their heads again, Lord, and wonder, how does these things happen? Because we serve a living God. We believe, Lord, that when we pray, Lord, you hear us. Not only do you hear us, but you answer our needs because you love us, Lord, and we love you. Lord, be in this service this morning in a mighty way, Lord. Touch Brother Mark, the musicians, Lord. Prepare our hearts to worship you. Strengthen Brother Joe, Lord. Anoint him, Lord, once again, that he may come with boldness, Lord, and speak the eternal, Lord, of the oracles of God, that we could be lifted up into your presence, Lord, and we could worship you and see you magnified, Lord, again. Be with us. Walk down each heart, Lord. Touch each need. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you ahead. In your lovely name we pray. Amen.
Last night on the way home, I was just thinking of my grandmother, and I could just see her. I know some of you might know her, some of you may not, but she was a special lady, and she used to get up and grab her guitar, and she would sing this song, and I just wanted to try to sing it this morning. Amen. Kim E-flat. We've come to glorify His name. This morning. Amen. Kim D. When pains of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried. Till Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be. I would not be denied. that my Lord was gone and he would not hear my prayer. Oh, but praise the Lord, but praise the Lord, the work is done and Christ our Lord is near. So this morning. Praise the Lord. Listen. On God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is times and in the bad times, God is good all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing this. I think strong winds are blowing with an unrelenting force. People running to and fro, they don't know what's going on. Men's hearts are failing because of turmoil in the land. Church doors are closing because preachers just can't take a stand. But it's going to take a stronger wind than this. Oh, yes. Oh, to keep me from my promises. It's going to take a stronger wind than this. Turn me around. It's gonna take a stronger wind than this, because my feet are on solid ground. Oh yes. People are searching for the true and living God. There's a famine in the land and the word seems null and void. They have eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear. If they only knew scripture, they'd know Jesus Christ is here. Oh yes, God is gonna take a stronger wind than this to keep me from my promises. people are living no different from the world, claiming to know the Lord, but truly serving other gods. They call on Him day and night, but they don't produce a life. Anointed ones at the end time, rejecting the only Christ. Oh, it's gonna take a stronger witness to keep me from my promises. It's gonna take a stronger witness to turn me around. Oh, it's gonna take a stronger witness, because my feet are on solid ground. How many testify this morning that my feet is on solid ground, and it's going to take a stronger wind than this to keep me from my promises? Amen. 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 If we can just do more of this, I can pray. Let's all sing that this morning. You say I'm not able, I'm too young, or I'm too old, and I can't sing or teach, and no title do I hold. Lord, what can I do? For I want to do my part, and I want to help the hurting with all of my heart. Oh, I can pray, oh yes, until the walls come down, until there's healing all around. That is something I can do. Shows no interest, and my child has gone so far. Though I try my best to reach them, their hearts just seem so hard. Lord, what can I do to help bring them back to You? For my family's lost and dying, and my words, they don't get through. Oh, but I can pray until the walls come down, until there's healing all around. That is something I can do. Calling on Your name. How many believe this morning that prayer still changes things? Did you see in the service last night that prayer changes things? Amen. We're so thankful this morning that God still hears our prayers and answers us, and He knows exactly what we have need of. And sometimes we don't even have to ask. The answer's already on the way. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's sing this in the key and see. We'll have our ushers to come ahead this morning if you want to and receive the offering for the service you just give to the Lord. I know He'll bless your efforts today. Why don't somebody sing this with me? And I God, I had them come. Maybe we need to lift a double offering today. Maybe that's what it is. Amen. Somebody drop a big bill in. Amen. We're honored to have each and every one of you with us, our visitors today. I don't know the couple in the back, but welcome. God bless you. And everybody here, we're just so happy to have you today. And again, this morning, we're honored to have Sister Jessica with us this morning. And we'd love for her to come, if she will, and sing for us at this time. Amen. How many enjoyed the song last night? And she did a wonderful job. Praise the Lord. This might sound a little bit familiar to some of you.
Bless the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Think about that this morning, this song, the words, just listen close.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a Jesus for my family.
Know that the atmosphere changes when you speak the name of Jesus. You can just say other scriptures and not even mention the name and they're inspired, but when you put that name of Jesus in there, oh, how it changes everything this morning. And how many are looking forward for God to move today in another supernatural way? I'm looking for Him to come again. I want more and more. I can't get enough of the Lord. I want more of Him. Amen. So let's stand together as we invite our pastor this morning to enter. There are two roads that you may take. There's one by sight and one by faith. So take the word of God or what you see, what you believe, that's what will be, is what will be. Oh, set your wings to the winds of faith, and you can fly in a higher place. Oh, and do not struggle, your cry, and watch your mountain that's much too high. Just speak the word of God, and by and by it will move. Oh, it will move, or you will fly, or you will fly. Higher place. in a higher place. Oh, he does not struggle. He does not strive for the power that makes him rise is already.
Revival is still going on, praise the Lord. They went all the way to England to find out where the Welsh revival was. Hallelujah. The little policeman said, you're looking at him. Hallelujah. Look around at somebody right now and tell them, you're looking at a revival. Hallelujah. You're looking at a revival. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. It's not over yet. Can you say it with me? It's not over yet. Praise God. I believe once more the Lord is going to visit us this morning. What a blessing to be back in the house of the Lord with you. Thank God for his grace and love and a visitation and waves of his glory on top of glory. Just keep on coming. Amen. Such love that God has given us this morning. I want to make a couple of announcements quickly before we change the order of the service. And if the brethren will come, this will be the tithe, the first fruits, your opportunity to give to the Lord as God has blessed you, and he will return to you a hundredfold, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over quickly. So we have our Sweetheart Banquet coming up on February 11th, our Sweetheart Banquet here at the Tabernacle. So we just invite you, if you would do us a favor today, go ahead and text Sister Deanne and let her know that you're planning to attend the banquet. You don't have to pay for it or anything like that right now. We can deal with that later on, but we need to get a head count so we can have everything ready, catered for the chef. So if you will do that today, please just text her, let you know you want to come to the Sweetheart Banquet. That's February 11th, and we're looking for a good time. We've got three new couples amongst us. We're going to christen this year. Praise the Lord. You're going to hear things you never heard of. X-rated, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be rough, but you're going to have a good time. Amen. We're going to break you in good. Praise the Lord. So anyway, so you're welcome to come. Be a part of that. Also, I want to say the youth camp is coming up, Louisiana Youth Camp. Registration open February 2nd. So we just want to encourage you to be a part of that. I am going to sponsor the young people this year again. So if you're interested in going, please, February 2nd, be sitting by your computer. Brother Joe tells me it fills up in 15 minutes. Amen. So we want you to be a part of that, but we are going to sponsor that here from the church for you to go to youth camp this year. So please, if you would, just be ready, stand on guard to do that, and then we'll take care of what needs to be taken care of. Also, I want to make another announcement here. This year, our youth banquet, our Memorial Week and Revival for our young people will be the Memorial Weekend, May 26th through the 28th. And our speaker will be yours truly, Brother Joe Adams. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're just looking for a great time around the fellowship of the Lord. And we are working right now. The registration is being up. Bethany's working with the trying to get that up immediately. I believe we got the All the forms are already up. We just need to activate, do some plugins there to where you can go online and just register online there. It'll ask a couple, a little bit of information, your age and such like. And for those that are viewing, your pastor, your church, and then it'll come automatically to us. That banquet is sponsored by us. There's no fees to that. We sponsor that here at the church. So get the word out. We'll get that up quickly and share the news amongst your friends, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. You can put Brother Joe dancing. TikTok. Amen. Hallelujah. And as I said, the youth banquet this year, Memorial Weekend. So we're just looking for a great time, great fellowship around the Lord. Hey, before we turn the service over, I want to give you a quick testimony. If you give us those numbers quickly. Amen. Yesterday morning, we had someone here with a blood sugar at 381. This morning, 166. Brother Gregory Holder. God healed him last night. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Hallelujah. That's critical. That's critical. 181. This morning, 166. Glory to God. Isn't God? I'll tell you, we got the great physician amongst us. Praise the Lord. So we're just looking again for God to show back up. Would you just remember, Brother Joe, as he comes this morning to minister his voice? Satan has really tried to attack his voice. But you know what? We've got enough amens in here and voices in here to cheer him on. And back the word of God, you'll be blessed. If you missed last night, you missed a blessing. But God will do it again this morning. Praise the Lord. We'll give you an opportunity. Those that need some prayer, we'll give you an opportunity to be prayed for today. The Lord bless you. As we change the order of the service now, let's sing a little hymn here before we introduce Brother Joe to come and just take his liberty. Remember all those announcements quickly again. If you don't mind, I want to reiterate. Text us to the end of today. I need to know those count for the Sweetheart Banquet. I need to get that in. Time slipped up on us. Spoke with the caterer Friday, and they're needing those numbers. So let us know right away. We would appreciate that. Let's sing this song.
A woman tried many physicians, but yet grew worse. So did Jesus. She came and when the crowd they tried to restrain her, you know what she did? She just whispered.
Somebody been whispering
these words.
Hallelujah.
Through her pain.
Slip your hands up, worship.
Touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. For there's only one way you can touch him. You must believe when you call on his name.
Amen. Father, we just, Lord, we come to you right now, Father, and we just under such a great expectation of what you're going to do in this hour. Lord, thank you for the visitation last night. God, you'd come by and just sovereignly minister to hearts and lives. God, you spoke expressly to individuals, Lord. Father, how thankful we are today to serve a living God. Not a God that's only on the pages of the Bible and a God that we have heard about and maybe we learned about in Sunday school, but Lord, a God that's even here this morning. A present tense God who's here to give strength to the voice of the preacher, to give clarity to the ears of the hearer tonight, or this morning rather, Father. We just invite you, Lord. We invite you to have your way in the service. God, we pray that you would speak. Lord, that you would loose the tongue of the servant today to speak only those things that would glorify you. And Lord, we pray that you would, God, anoint the ears of the hearer, Father, that they can spiritually discern what is being said. We're so thankful, Lord. Thank you for your presence. We just pray, Lord, you'll bless us once again in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning. I do ask that you would keep me in prayer. You can hear my voice is very weak this morning, and you know I kind of gave. I'm 110% preacher, so I gave y'all everything last night, and so we're going to try to give everything again this morning. But I want to share a quote before we start this morning. As you're turning to Leviticus 23. And we're going to look at verse 1. We're kind of going to take our time this morning. I'm not in a rush. I'm not going home today. Amen. So we're going to be here. We're just going to follow the leadership of the Lord. But I want to share a quote out of the Ephesian church age. Brother Bram says, but thank God in the last age, how many can say amen?
Amen.
There will be a group rise up, the true bride of the last day, and she will listen to the Spirit. She'll listen to the Spirit in that day of gross darkness. The light will return by the pure word. We will return to the power of Pentecost to welcome back the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm speaking to a people today that is welcoming back the power of Pentecost so that we can receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We find here in Leviticus. Here in Leviticus, I want to speak to you this morning briefly, the Feast of Freedom. And I'm going to take my time this morning and lay this out, and we'll get to where we're going to go with it. But we find here in Leviticus, if you read the book of Leviticus in chapter 23, you find all the feasts listed out. Boom, boom. And here in verse 1 it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. God bless you. You can have your seats this morning. We find here this word feast. You know, I'm from the South. Now, I know y'all are Southern, but we're South. All right? So when we have a feast, it's a 9-course meal.
All right.
Because we bring a couple extra desserts.
That's right.
All right, and just to let y'all know, I did have cheesecake last night. And it was good. Really good. So a feast we think of as a time of where we just sit down and we have fellowship and we feed on meals, this meal, that meal, Thanksgiving, different things of that nature. But here, the word feast is an appointment. It's a fixed time. It's an appointed time or season. It's a festival. It's a time of celebration. So when they had the feasting, we're going to look at some of these. So here, the major theme of this Leviticus 23 is the Feast of Gratitude. So all these feasts was a feast of gratitude for what God had done for them, how God continued to give them. He displayed his mercies, his kindness, his providential care. And, you know, each of these feasts should be remembered. And today, man is wanting to take the remembrance of what God has done for us out of our worship. Man is trying to strip away the power of God, the liberty to gratitude, to thank God for what he had done, where he had brought you from.
Right.
You know, I think about my life, and I wasn't raised in a Christian church. I wasn't raised in the message. I was 20-something years old. I was trying to commit suicide, and a voice came in my car and said, turn your car around and go home. At 120 miles an hour, trying to pull over into a ditch. But yet, the voice of God spoke to me and said, turn your car around. And today, people don't like my excitement. They don't like my joy. They don't like my worship. They criticize me because I'm free. But if you were going where I was going, if you was in that car with me the night that I gave my heart to the Lord, you would understand my excitement. You would understand my joy. You would understand the liberty by which I preach this message. Because now the chains that were once held me don't hold me anymore. And so what it is, these feasts are a time of remembrance. And we look here, it's a, you know, they would say that an ungrateful heart is an unfeeling heart, an unloving heart, an unbelieving heart, and a disobedient heart. Maybe they hadn't drank what we've been drinking. You know, it's something. Now, I used to drink, and I'm not glorifying that. But when you found the drink that you liked, you got it every time. You didn't switch. You didn't try something else. You knew this one brought the effects. You're going to stumble. You're going to stagger. Or you're going to slobber. You're going to do all these things. And while I'm telling you today, churches, we got something that's worth coming back to the well for. Don't let somebody try to give you another drink that has no effects to it. Some old drink that don't get you stimulated. Something that don't get you excited about what God has done for you, where God has brought you from. So we find here in Leviticus 23, we're going to kind of jump over some of these feasts real quick as we build our platform this morning. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month, at even, it is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So I want to stop right there just for a minute. So the unleavened bread, and Brother Branham will tell us, in God's provided a place of worship. 7 days we are to eat unleavened bread. No leaven shall be found amongst the bride. No word added, no nothing. Remember, the word caused every death that is in the earth. Every illegitimate child was born because of Eve, the first church, the bride of the first Adam, doubted God's word, accepted a denominational or an intellectual or a school of expectations. See, because it was reasoned out. But see, we've had 7 days, there's no unleavened bread. 7 church ages, there's no unleavened bread. Otherwise, he's saying, don't put your own intellect into the word of God, but let the word of God flow through the 7 church ages, because he's going to bring forth the bride in the end time. Then we jump over to Leviticus 29, or 23 and verse 9. This is the feast of the first fruits. Verse 10, excuse me. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you become into the land which I give unto you, you shall reap the harvest thereof. Then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. So otherwise, we're coming out of somewhere and we're going into somewhere else. Notice he says, when you come out, or you come into the land. So in order to go into somewhere, we have to come out of somewhere. Now, how many of you got a denominational background? Baptist. How many Baptists in here? How many of you are still Baptists? Nope. How many of you come out of Methodist? Shouting Methodist. How about Pentecost, Assembly of God? All right. Catholic? Man, all y'all born in the message. But see, you come out of something. And so, because you come out of it, God can take you into somewhere else. So what we're going to look at here, then we go into Leviticus 23 and verse 15. And you shall count, you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you have brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete, even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath. You shall number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. So the Feast of Weeks is considered the Feast of Pentecost. Okay? And then if we look in Exodus, we're not going to look in Exodus. We're going to look in Deuteronomy. So let's go to Deuteronomy 16 and verse 9. And I apologize for my voice. I wish I could preach this morning. 16 and verse 9 says, 7 weeks shall thou number unto thee. Begin to number the 7 weeks from such a time as thou beginnest to put in the sickle to the corn. And thou shalt keep the Feast of Weeks unto the Lord thy God with the tribute of a freewill offering of thy hand And thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God according as the Lord thy God has blessed thee. Now notice, verse 11. And thou shalt be sad. Thou shalt be mournful. Thou shalt be disappointed before the Lord thy God. No, the Bible would tell us, thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God. Thou son, and thy daughters. Not only there, thy manservant and thy maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, what are among you in the place which the Lord thy God has chosen to put his place or put his name there. And in verse 12, and this is where I want to clue in on tonight or this morning. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. See, the word rejoice here means that we are to be glad.
Yes.
That means we are to be joyful.
Amen.
We're to be of cheer.
Yes.
Gleeful. Brighten up.
Yes,
you know, you go to some churches. I've been there.
Yes,
I'm sure these brothers has been there.
Yes.
Man, to get an amen is like pulling teeth. You want to shout, you better pull one.
Yes.
But we find we're told by the Lord, according to the feast, it's a time of remembrance. It's a time of great joy. It's a time of rejoicing. Why? Because thou shalt remember that thou art not in Egypt anymore.
Amen.
Thou art, oh church, you're no longer a bondman anymore. Now you're free. You're free to go into the land that God has called you to go into. You're free where sins and shackles once held you down. When man's ideas and man's personalities and dogmas and creeds kept you down. We're no longer in Egypt. We may have been there 400 years. Our sons and our daughters may have died. Our women may have been pillaged and raped. But I'm here to tell you, we're no longer in bondage anymore. But we are free people. We're free to enjoy the blessings of God. We're free to enjoy the feast of freedom. Don't sins and all things of the world, they can't hold us anymore because we've come out of Egypt and we're going into the promised land of the Holy Ghost, of the supernatural, of the power of God, of the liberties wherein Christ has made you free. Oh, if I can preach anything to you this morning, I'm here to preach you're free this morning. You're free from ideas. You're free from your fallen nature. You're free from your mistakes. You're free from your failures. You're free from man's idea. You're free from depression. You're free from anxiety. You're free from sickness. Oh, hallelujah. You're free this morning. Sickness can't hold you. Sin can't hold you. Man's ideas can't hold you. We're free. And we're feasting. Through every feast, and it's a feast of freedom. It's a feast of freedom where we're to rejoice. Oh my. What was last night? It was a freedom. Well, you say, that's not my nature. How many have ever used that excuse? But when the Holy Ghost comes, he frees you from your nature. You'll do things you didn't think you'd do. You will slobber when you didn't think you would slobber. See, it's a feast, but it's all about liberty. It's all about freedom. You see, all the Jewish well-bodied or able-bodied males had to travel to Jerusalem to partake of the feast. And God's requiring all of us. All of us. Must travel. To Jerusalem, the land, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, so that we can enjoy the feast. And it's a time to remember, church, that we're no longer in bondage. Let me tell you what the prophet of God would tell us. Let me just skip some stuff here. He said, now the Jews have been blinded, waiting all this time while the Pentecostal, come on Pentecostals, you better shout, you did it last night. We would have took a video of that. We would have made every Assembly of God church embarrassed. But he says now, while the Pentecostal first fruits have been poured out upon the church, and we've come down through the martyrs age, down through the reformers age, now in the calling They're calling out three stages. Same spirit, like the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, same one. But seven church ages, been seven Sabbaths exactly. Sabbaths from the Pentecostal Jubilee trumpet, a Pentecostal Jubilee feast, until the waving of the sheaf, then the Pentecostal Jubilee. And he says now, but under the sixth seal, notice, under the sixth seal, when it opened, persecution struck the Jew in the literal standpoint. And here comes persecution to the church from an ecclesiastical standpoint. So the church, you wonder why we're being persecuted. The persecution is not from the outside. Persecution is from the inside. Persecution is from those that used to sit in the pew that you're sitting in. Those that used to rub shoulders with you. Those that used to wave their hands and shout the hallelujahs. Now the persecution is coming from the outside. Those that have walked out of this word, walked out of this message, and we find they're persecuting you today because they've gone back to bondage, but you're free. And they're persecuting you for your liberty. They're trying to hold you back and say, you don't have to act like that anymore. We're no longer in Pentecost anymore. Let me tell you, I never left Pentecost. I'm Pentecostal from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I'm Pentecostal joy, Pentecostal excitement, Pentecostal word, Pentecostal preaching, Pentecostal believing. Because the true bride will always go back to Pentecost. So this bride is attacked because her stand for the word. So many have attacked us. They've attacked our message. They defected away. And now they're so focused. They're so focused, so full of venom, is to attack everything we stand for. Just leave. Just walk away. If it ain't for you, leave. But they can't just leave. Because it's the persecution on the church. But I'm here to tell you, this bride, come on bride, this bride will weather every attack. She will weather every storm. She may be criticized. She may be made fun of. She may be chastised by standing for the full word of God. She will be called a fanatic. She'll be called a holy roller. She may be labeled Pentecost. But no matter what, oh, you can attack me, but I ain't backing up. I ain't backing down. I'm not giving in. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to bow. And I surely ain't going to break. I'm going to stand for this word. Because I didn't call myself out, but he called me out. And because he called me out, I got the assurance that I'm going in somewhere. So we find that the attack on the church is no different than the attack on the Egyptians, or not the Egyptians, but the Israelites, when they came out. Think about it. Dathan and Korah. You think you're the only one. You think you're the big somebody. Got a big name, huh, Moses? Come on. Your sister over there acting a fool on the other side.
That's right.
Think about it. Put yourself in her shoes for a minute. Every day. Since a little girl. Told you can't do this. Told you can't do that. Beat here and slapped here and ridiculed here. And just verbally abused and physically abused. And all that. And one day, as you're coming out, oh, Dathan and Korah got a whole group to complain. Got a whole group to criticize. How dare Moses think, where's he taking us? We're out here. We got no food. We got nothing to drink. You lead us out here to the land to die, Moses. Here we are. We get to a mountain on one side. And we got Pharaoh's army behind us. And we got a great big water in front of us. And Moses, I don't see a boat. How are we going to get across? Oh, I like what the Spirit of the Lord told Moses. Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still today, church, believers, tabernacle, and you'll see the salvation of the Lord. He'll put a road right between that Red Sea there. And when little bitty old Miriam got to the other side. Thank you. Where's that tambourine? Oh. Let me have it. Oh, come on.
Come on, somebody. All those taskmasters, all those things that they said it couldn't be, that you're acting silly. Let me tell you, when she got to the other side and she looked back and all the accusers were drowned in the sea and they were floating, oh, she began to have a good time. She began to worship the Lord. Oh, let me tell you about it. They couldn't stop her Pentecostal jubilee and they can't stop yours today. We got a reason to shout. We got a reason to praise God. We got a reason to shake the tambourine and praise the living God, because we are no longer in bondage. We're free this morning. Free to enjoy everything God has for us. We are free. But today, men want to put you back in bondage. They want to put you back in bondage. You can't do this. How dare you shout like that in church? We didn't do that in my day. Well, you missed it. But here it is. Recognize your day and its message. I recognize my day. And I recognize this message is for me. It's a message of freedom. It never was to take you to bondage. But God sent you a prophet for one purpose. It's to loose the denominational bands that once held you down. To loose you to enjoy the presence of God. To loose you to enjoy the liberties of this word. But man want to take you back to bondage. But this bride refuses to go back. I'm not crossing the Red Sea again. I'm not going back. What about some of you out there tonight? See the attack on the church, just like it was on Moses. Oh, they were afraid of the hardships, the unknown. Well, we may act like this. What do you mean? Look at Miriam. Good night. That old self-styled Pharisee of an Israelite. Miriam, you just embarrass me. Some of your temples fell out of your tambourine. You got a little bit too much emotion in you, Miriam. Buy a new one, nothing. Let's just take all the rest of them out. Shake it to the things. Shake this place till the walls fall down. Till the Holy Spirit begins to move. And the pillars begin to shake back and forth. And the train of His presence fills the temple. But not this temple. This temple. I say, God, fill us this morning. Afresh and anew. Lord, shake us this morning with the power of Pentecost. God, restore to us this morning the glories of your word. There ain't nothing wrong with shaking it a little bit. Wake the dead.
Woo, that's right.
Amen. The Bible says the dead in Christ gonna rise first. You might well rise here this morning.
Right.
Wake out of that old dead stupor you've been in.
Right.
Enjoy this word.
Yes. Yes,
Lord. How many of you had a past life?
Yeah.
Come on. It's okay.
Yeah.
We're all family. I did. I tell them. I used to go to the bar. I paid money. I know you know how many of you did that. Ain't none of y'all had to pay a cover charge to get in church this morning. But I paid $10 to go to a bar. You think I just sat down and found a chair and just like...
No.
No. I paid money. What was I saying? I was determined I was going to have a good time. And I brought a little bit of extra money so I could go up to the bar and get me a drink or two.
Right.
And you know what I did after that? After I got a little bit loose. Because
right.
Sometimes you get a little bit loose, right?
Great,
you're drinking the right drink with a little bit of stamina, stimulation in it. Sometimes it'll get your mind thinking a little bit different. You won't be so self-starching. You won't be so closed in and put out. You ain't worried about who's on the dance floor. You're running out there. Oh, yes, baby. Let me just give it to them. Let me tell you, if I can do that for the devil, what can I do for God? If I can get that devil that much, what can I do for God when he's done so much for me? I should be able to come around and thank the Lord and preach his word and shout hallelujah and worship our living God. Because I'm no longer in bondage. And it didn't cost me nothing. It was paid for. Oh my. Notice. Feast of the Trumpets. After the long period of Pentecost, which Israel did reject back there, he called the Gentile church out. Notice. Through this Pentecostal feast, he's calling the Gentile church out through the Pentecostal feast.
That's right.
And we don't want to be Pentecostal.
That's right.
So we think Pentecost originated in the book of Acts. It originated in Leviticus. Pentecost originated when they came out of Egypt. And when you came out, church, you came out to go into a Pentecostal Jubilee. A time of victory. A time of freedom. A time of liberation. Notice now. See, it's the first fruits of the harvest. The first fruit of the resurrection. The Pentecostal feast. I got a quote for you. Notice, as I spoke about it last night, here is Mary Magdala. Now, she was a woman. She was scared. But she's worried about, what's he going to say? I'm at the feet of Jesus. All these dignitaries are around.
That's right.
Some of you this morning, you can just lay your pride down for a minute.
That's right.
And realize you're at the feet of the Messiah. You're at the feet of the only one that can break your chains.
Right.
Some of you came for prayer last night and the power of God fell upon you and laid you out. Some of you had changed your life.
Right.
Some of you had healed your body.
Right.
And now you are at the feet. And she's worried. She's scared. What is he going to do? Is he going to jerk his foot back and say, no, don't do that. No, Jesus, don't do things that way.
Right.
Oh, but the message preachers today, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't act that way.
Jesus.
Oh, Barry, got your hair all down. And you got this place smelling like, you know, whatever, and all that perfume originating all over the place, and you are crying and snotting. Come on, Mary, you're acting like an imbecile. He never pulled his foot back. Oh, no, sir. He sat right still and washed her. She was doing for him what they ought to have done. And I'm here to tell you tonight, somebody's going to worship him. Somebody's going to give him praise. Somebody's going to wash his feet. Somebody's going to glorify his name. And let me tell you, don't let some rock, don't let some tree, don't let some people, don't let somebody take your place and do what you ought to be doing. We got to worship a God. He said there was Pharisees, the bishop of the church, with all the pastors and elders standing around, thought to themselves, too good to be a holy roller. But this poor little woman standing there, what's she going to do? What's she going to receive? Oh, she knew that she loved him. Something had happened. Had she had done wrong? No. He said one day, whosoever will, let him come. And that's what they were doing. And she wanted to do it. He says, oh, if these big starches won't worship God, God will pull out of you poor people. He will get you to do it. Somebody. He will call the sinners and the harlots from the streets. Somebody's going to worship God. I say, let that be me this morning. I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship God. Why? Because all that he's done for me, he called me out and he's taken me in. He said, you be careful calling somebody a holy roller. Who's doing what you ought to have done? Now here's a good one. I've seen jumping spells. Y'all just saw one. I've seen joy spells. But there was nobody hurt. But Brother Joe, it's just not my nature. You got the wrong drink. You got the wrong drink. I got a drink up here. It makes everybody act the same. He goes, I've seen jumping spells. I've seen joy spells. But there was nobody hurt. The mountains rung out. The sun went down. Everything took place. But there was nobody hurt. I've seen meetings where the power of God was revealed to the people, that they were free from the world and the things of the world. And the joy of the Lord filled the congregation. They stood. They screamed. They cried. They shouted to the top of their voice for the glory of God. And I never did see anything disorderly. They was always right. And I say, oh, hallelujah. Let them criticize our church order. We're right in line with the message of the hour. Right in line with the way the prophet of God preached it. The way that he believed it. We can scream. We can shout. We can dance. We can worship this God. Let me tell you, I ain't going back to your prison. I'm not going back to your bondage. I'm a free man. Scripture, Brother Joe. I got to have a little bit of scripture to help solidify this. On, so I know it's okay to act this way. Okay. Well, turn to Revelation 5. You need it. Look at John. John said, every creature. That had to be pretty loud, wasn't it? Every creature which is in heaven, which is on the earth, which is under the earth, such as are in the sea, and those that they heard I saying, blessings and honor and glory and power be to him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever. What happened? John saw his name in the book. It's no longer a closed book, church. It's been opened to the bride, and we are the people of the open book. And I've seen my name. That's why you can shout. If it doesn't excite you, let me just invite you to come look over and see your name. Just come and see your name. John, type of the bride. He saw all his failures vanquished. All his mistakes vanquished. All his disappointments vanquished. Everything that was against John was vanquished. John wasn't looking at all that. He wasn't pulling up the memory. He was looking, is my name in that book? And when he saw his name there, he began to shout. He began to dance. He began to praise God. What am I telling you, church? Some see your name. The book has been opened. God sent you a message in this hour, and it opened up the seals. And now you are the revelation of those seals. Quit criticizing the moving of the Spirit and look for your name there. It's there. He put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation. Oh, we as the bride, we're not dealing with a closed book, but it's an open book. But look, today so many want to close it. They want to hold on to their Wesleyan attitude, their Baptist upbringing, or their assembly, or their Pentecost, or whatever it may be. They want to come, and they want to clamp down on this freedom and put you back in bondage. But let me tell you, church, this bride. Come on, church, who's the bride this morning? This bride. This bride refuses to back off the promises of God. This bride refuses to not grab hold of every word that lays in there for her. She refuses to back up. She refuses to back down. She refuses to bend. She refuses to back up on her stance that thus saith the Lord is all that we have need of. She refuses to back down on preaching the full gospel with signs and wonders and miracles and healings and deliverance and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. She refuses to back off those things. She refuses to be told quit preaching and push play. The true bride. Look, I push play. I push play every day. No matter, you know what, I'm fanatical. I push it more than once a day. Okay, go ahead. I'm a fanatic. But she is no longer in bondage. Man. Freedom to not be held. To freedom
to know that your sins are forgiven. But not only that, the freedom to know that you're not what you used to be. But God is calling you and he's pointing you. And that's why you act the way you act. That's why you respond to the word the way you respond. Because once there's a deep calling and the deep is responding out to it. You're not that old man. You're not what the devil says about you. You're not depression. You're not anxiety. You're not fear. You're not guilt. You're not worried. You're not forsaken. You're not cast down. But you are the bride of Jesus. Christ, and you are the head and not the tail, and you are going up and not down. Let me tell you, he liberated you for a purpose. He's calling a bride to himself, a match piece of the word. He ain't just marrying anybody, but he's marrying somebody that's bone of his bone, character of his character, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit. Oh my. You know, I chose my wife. I could have chose any wife out there. But when I saw my wife and I studied her character, and I didn't even know that I had that character in me. But something said, that's the one. That's the one. That's the one that exemplifies what I want. And let me tell you, that's what he's done. He's looked over the banister and he says, she's the one. She's the one. She's going to worship me. She's going to serve me. She's got my character. She's got my praise. She doesn't care what they say about her. She's here to worship a living God. No matter what they do, no matter how they criticize, no matter how they throw up on her, she'll worship me no matter what. That's what he's coming for, church. A bride without spot. A bride without wrinkle. A church after his own flesh. We have come through the feast of Passover. Our Paschal lamb has been slain. We've come through the feast of unleavened bread. And we're not putting our own ideas in it. We didn't wait till the seventh age. The seventh day to start interjecting our own ideas. Now we're at the feast. First fruits. Or we had a feast of first fruits. And a prophet God waved over us. So this is what she's going to be. This is what she's going to look like. This is how she's going to worship. Some people want to say, well, Brother Branham didn't get excited. I'll tell you what. If I was about 2 foot taller, I'd jump on this platform and all this pulpit and show you exactly what he did. But for church order, and some of y'all probably walk out, I'm not going to do it. He jumped on his own pulpit, hung his legs off, and worshiped. You try doing that in some message churches. But he was an example. He was an example of how to worship. He was an example of how to pray. When he was alone out there in the woods, he laid old Blondie down and ran around the tree shouting to the top of his lungs, oh, glory to God and glory to God and glory to God. If he could act like that in the woods, how should we act in the house of God? I said, oh, glory to God. I'm free at last, free at last. Thank God I'm free at last. No longer held in chains. No longer held by man's ideas. I'm free to worship. I'm free to serve. I'm free to praise my God. Woo. How many ever heard the slogan, never again? This was a slogan that the Jews used at the fall of the Masada. There's a poem that they wrote, and this slogan, never again, come out of it. It was an epic poem by Yitzhak Lamdin. And the poem is about the siege of the Masada, in which a group of Jewish rebels, they held out against the Roman armies. And according to the legend, at the very end, they committed suicide versus being taken captive. And they said, never, never again will we allow Masada to fall. Never again will we give up our freedoms. And this same phrase reoccurred again. Reoccurred again in 1941 through 1945. And many of you may have heard about World War II. And we find here, this time, this phrase was used now in context with the Holocaust, which was in 1945, when the newly liberated survivors of the Bechenau concentration camp displayed its various languages and handmade signs. 6 million Jews died at the hand of the evil Nazi regime, and all because of their ethnicity and because of their religious origin. Their homes were stripped away from them. Their possessions were confiscated and sold. Their guns were taken away. Their businesses were shut down. They were forbidden to work. They were not allowed an education. They were treated like subhuman creatures. They were loaded on trains like livestock and shipped across the country without food, without water, without proper facilities. They were sent to ghettos to live like animals, fighting for every scrap of food. Men, women, children, young and old were sent to concentration camps and death camps where they would die and never see their family again. They were forced by this evil, satanic, anointing. Why? And they refuse. Never again will we just sit back and allow our liberties to be stripped away. I say it again, church. Never again will this bride go back to an organization. Never again will she refuse to fight for her children. Fight for your family. Fight for your home. Fight for the Holy Ghost. Fight for the liberties wherein Christ has made you free. Never again will we allow the devil to ramrod over us and strip our freedoms. Her rights to the full word. Her rights to every promise of the Bible. Her rights to the supernatural. Never again. Maybe I should have changed my title this morning to Never Again. I like what Winston Churchill said. He said, we're going to fight on the beaches. I know I got some beach lovers in here. Don't go to the beach and don't fight. We'll fight on the beaches. We'll fight on the landing grounds. We'll fight in the fields and in the streets. We'll fight in the hills. We will never surrender. We will never surrender. And I had this. We will fight for our families. We will fight for our children. We will fight for healing. We will fight for deliverance. We will fight for joy. We will fight for peace. We will fight for the Holy Ghost. We will fight until these bodies are changed and we're sitting at the wedding supper of the Lamb. We will never go back. Never again will we go back to bondage. We'll pick up our tambourine. We'll pick up the word of God. We will fight. We will refuse to throw down our weapons and throw down our rights and allow the power of the Holy Ghost to be stripped away from us. We will refuse. Jude told us in Jude 1, beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was common. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. How many want to know what that faith is? Okay, well, all right, I'll tell you. Nobody else wants to know. The prophet of God says Jew was exalting the people. And they should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. He said that was about 30 years. After Pentecost. He was exalting him to get back to that same Pentecostal faith. Oh, Pentecost is more than emotion. Pentecost is more than speaking in tongues. Pentecost is freedom. Pentecost is looking back over your life and realizing I'm no longer in chains. I'm no longer in bondage, but I am free. Content for that faith. The freedom to worship. The freedom to pray. The freedom to dance. It's freedom, church. Pentecost is freedom. Brother Brown's prayer in the Feast of the Trumpets, he said, there will come a messenger in the last days. He will guide the people back. All right, I'm done, Brother Joseph. Y'all want to know what the finishing of the quote says? He said he will guide the people back to the first fruit. Back to the original faith.
He said, grant it, Lord, that the great messenger among us now, the great Christ, the Holy Spirit, made vivid, made understanding, opening up the word and revealing it to us, may he guide them back to the original Pentecostal faith. That's where we're headed, church. Not Azusa Pentecost, but we're going back to the original Pentecostal faith. And we're not just stopping there. Let me tell you, Paul had everything but a new body. But this bride, she's promised a new body. She's promised a body change. She's promised to throw off this old pest house and to step into a theophany. The original faith. Here we are, 2,000 years later. And we're still being encouraged to contend for it, to fight for it. Don't give it up. Let them stream in and criticize. Hey, we're here. If you didn't like last night, I feel like David. David saw the ark returning. The word was returning. And he got out there. He didn't care, Brother Greg, what you thought. He didn't care, Brother Mark, how you felt about it. No, he knew one thing. The word was coming home. The word was being restored back to its original position. And he began to dance. He began to worship. And his own wife said, oh, you embarrass me, David. And David said, you know what? If you didn't like that, you didn't like what happened last night, watch what's going to happen today. There's going to be an outpouring. People are going to realize they are free. They are free from sin. They are free from shackles. They are free from man's ideas and man-made dogmas. They are free. I know. I get it. Some people don't like freedom. Some people just like, they like to know that they have parameters. There's only so far this side they can go. There's only so far on that side they can go. There's only so far back they can go. They're just in a little room.
That's right.
Well, I'm comfortable here. Good for you. I'm not.
That's right.
I went to jail one time, believe it or not. This is okay to work in here. Because I wasn't always saved. I went to Mardi Gras. How many of you ever heard of Mardi Gras?
Yes.
Not a good place for a believer.
Right.
But thankfully, I wasn't a believer at that time.
Right.
So I done had me a few hurricanes. That's a mixed drink. It's about that big.
All right.
And it was good.
Yes,
according to that. That was my appetite then. And when I got loose, man, was having a good time walking down Bourbon Street. And just, I had a foul mouth. Here this officer came up on a horse. She was a policeman, a lady policeman. And she wasn't real ladylike. And I patted that horse. She said, don't touch the horse. And I gave her an explicit back. She snatched me up. And my, on my little tiptoes. I bet I look real funny. I mean, I'm being manhandled by a woman. If she wasn't all woman, she was. There was a man inside that lady. They took me to that paddy wagon. And they beat me and kicked me and stomped me and punched me and threw me in the back of it. You know what my buddies did? They went home.
That's right.
I said, what? So they took me to the New Orleans Police Department. It was a big area kind of like this. Thankfully, they didn't put me behind bars.
That's right.
But I was in an open facility because I was always meant to be free.
That's right.
So no matter what, if I was in jail, at least I was in a big room. And I enjoy it. I got to look over my back. I talked to this other guy. I said, you watch my back. I'll watch your back.
Right.
He got dismissed before me. And I was scared to death.
That's right.
There's a man they just brought in. He just killed his wife. And there's all kind of nasty drag queens and everything else in there. It was an awful place to be. Let me tell you, when they let me out of that place, I said, hallelujah, I ain't never going back. I ain't never going back to that jail. I ain't never going back to a place like that. Why? Because I experienced freedom, church. That's what I'm telling you. If you've ever been released from the prison bars of man's ideas, you'll never go back. There ain't an inmate in the world desiring to go back to jail. Oh, please take me back.
No.
No. He's glad. He's out. He's free. But you know, when our forefathers went to that upper room, how much time I got? Oh, I got plenty of time. When they went to that upper room, they were men and women just like you. Some of them denied Christ. Some of them fought depression. Some of them were fighting anxieties. They were fearful. What is the Roman army going to do to me? Matter of fact, what are the religious fanatics, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, if they know we're here, they just crucified our Lord, what will they do to us? Because we follow his teaching. See, they were not perfect. They had their own failures and their own struggles. They were fighting the greatest battle, many of them, that was ever fought. They were afraid. They were in bondage to the Romans and were and were afraid that, you know, that they would be beat, or furthermore, they would be killed for the slightest infraction. They were in bondage to the law of Moses. You couldn't defect from it, or they'll kill you. They'll find a reason to stone you for blasphemy. But see, they waited. The Bible says that Jesus told them, I want you to tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Now here, the Paschal Lamb has been slain. He rose again on the third day, and he was with them for about 40 days. And he encouraged them during that time, I want you to go to the city of Jerusalem and wait for me, or wait till the Holy Ghost comes. And he was giving them an example that there was a day of Pentecost that was coming. What was foreshadowed in the Old Testament was about to come a reality in the New Testament. And I'm here to tell you, and all it was the first fruits of what God was going to do in the end time, that they rejoiced in. 120 come staggering out like a bunch of drunk men and a bunch of drunk women. And that the prophet of God said, when the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, that was the standard. That's exactly what God instituted. That's exactly what God set in order. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get there, but once you first go back to Pentecost and get drunk on the Holy Ghost and act in ways you didn't think you would act. Brother Brandon would tell us, he said they were full of new wine. Some of you need to get that old wine out.
That's right.
That old wine ain't got no stimulation.
That's right.
It's lost its ferment.
Yes.
But I got some new wine up here.
Yes.
I brought you some new wine this weekend. Yes. It'll stir your heart.
Yes.
It'll get the joy bells ringing.
Yes.
It'll get you shouting.
Yes.
It won't just be me and Sister Shirley having church, but all of you joining. Man, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. I'll shout to amen. Hallelujah. I'll clap my hands. I'll worship God. If it's good enough for them, if that old time religion worked then, surely it works today. I'm here to tell you, it still works. It still produces. It produces young people that are full of the Holy Ghost, that are living victorious lives. Did you ever see a drunk man?
Yes.
I'm glad none of y'all knew me before I got saved. He said he's just in love with everybody.
Amen.
Drunk people, some drunk people are fun to be around.
Yes.
They have, man, they pull out that wallet.
Yes. That's right.
Man, they're free.
Yes.
They go home slap broke.
Yes.
They love everybody.
Yes.
And everybody loves them.
Uh-huh.
They ain't got nothing ugly to say. Get drunk. Some of you need to get drunk this morning.
Yes.
Some of you need to get drunk.
Yes, sir.
You're getting like you ate a sour apple.
Yes.
We don't drink. It shows.
Right.
I can tell. But if I can entice your hand this morning to get drunk on the Holy Spirit,
amen,
just allow yourself to loosen up. You know, when I took that first drink, I had to get it through my mind. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do this. But I did it.
Right.
And when I did it, something happened, Brother Joseph. I started looking at things a little bit different. I got, took another drink, and I got looser. And all of a sudden, the most starchy feet I had, they got loose. they got loose. Let me tell you, when I came to the Holy Spirit, when God gave me the Holy Spirit, I was told you couldn't get it. I lived in a Baptist church. And let me tell you, I come out of Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian. There wasn't no Holy Ghost. There wasn't no fire. But when I came to the Word, and the Word came to me, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I started drinking, it made me look a little bit different. It made things get a little bit looser. And my legs got loose. And my worship got loose. And my praise got loose. And I realized, He's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of it all, church. He's worthy of everything that we can give Him and so much more. Why do you want to sit down on God? Why do you want to sit down on the movement of the Spirit? He is worthy this morning. He's worthy of our dance. He's worthy of our worship. He set us free for one purpose, Brother Johnson, and that's to worship Him. If there ever was a people that should be free, it's us. He said the Spirit of God makes you so drunk. You forget all your enemies. That sister that spoke ugly about you, just get drunk one time. Man, God forgive her. She knows now what she's doing. Get drunk. Everybody's in love with you, and He don't care about who's standing around. That's some good advice, ain't it? Because you know what? Some of us, I'm just going to be very honest. Some of us, we feel like releasing ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Anybody? Can I get a witness? But you worried about what the neighbor's going to think. And you just kind of pull in. You know what? You ain't got drunk yet. You just been sipping. You just been coming and sipping. Oh, that's good. That's good. Look at that. Oh, that's good. You're okay with Sister Shirley shouting. You're okay with that brother and that sister shouting. You just sipping. I ain't talking about sipping. I'm talking about getting good souse drunk one time. And when you get good souse drunk one time, you ain't worried about your neighbor. You ain't worried about the preacher. You ain't worried about mom and dad. You ain't worried about nothing. You just throw your hands up in the air and begin to worship God. He's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my worship. I'm not in chains anymore. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm free. I'm free to worship. I'm free to dance. I'm free to shout. He said, you get drunk. I don't care if your neighbor's sitting next to you. We want some dignified church. He said, let the Holy Ghost get on you one time. See, they want to take the church back to dignity. Yes. Be all stuck. Yes. Oh. Yes. How dare you sweat, Brother Joe? Now you need to speak as an oracle. Okay. Yes. Okay, let me show you my PowerPoint. Oh, excuse me. That was wrong, wasn't it? You know what? I'm okay with a PowerPoint as long as there's got a power in the point. I'm okay as long as there's power. There's Holy Ghost power. And you're making a point. What is that point today, Brother Joe? We're free. We're free. We're free. We're free this morning. You can't hold me back. You can't take my liberties away. You can't strip my inalienable rights from me. I am free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free this morning. He said, get right real good souse drunk. That's your prophet. He just gave you a green light to get drunk. Not out there in the bar, but you get drunk right here this morning. Some of you got good and drunk last night. You know what we used to call it in the world? We got toasted. Some of y'all got good and toasted last night. Yeah, you came up here, bam, got toasted. Yeah. That's what a good drunk can do for you. Yeah. It'll leave you right where you drank it.
Right.
Some of you, you went back to your seat, and that drunk hit you all of a sudden, and you started running around.
Yeah.
Some of you, Oh, my, some of you over here playing the piano.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, it was just playing all beautiful. And all of a sudden, the drum came on. Simulation here. And we started dancing. And we started worshiping. And we started praising God. It didn't matter if we were on the instruments. It didn't matter if we were in the congregation. The drum came. The Holy Ghost came. And it filled this place. It's okay. Get good and sound strong. He said they were all drunk on new wine. They ain't had nothing like this before. They had the law, but they ain't never had grace like this. They never had the power of God like this. He said, some of you sisters here, do you know the Blessed Virgin Mary was in that? Okay, listen. She had to get up there. The mother of Jesus had to go up there and be included in that bunch of people, so drunk on the Holy Spirit till she staggered like she was drunk on whiskey or something.
That's right. That's right.
He says, you'll have to come that route because that's the only route God ever did lay down, ever has. You'll walk in or you won't be there. He goes, I'm not your judge. I'm just preaching the gospel. That's exactly the truth. The Blessed Virgin Mary was right there, acted just as idiotic as the rest of them did, just as drunk as the rest of them. Well, Brother Joe, you mean I got to act all indifferent or not dignified? You mean my hair's going to fall down? You mean I may break a sweat? You mean people are going to look at me? You mean I'm going to act idiotic? Yeah. You didn't think you had it in you. But if you can just get good souse drunk one time, you'll act in ways you never thought you would act. If you can ever experience real freedom, if you can ever experience the joy of the Lord one time and realize all those things against you have been stripped away, and the God, the Lord our God, He don't even have one memory of your sin. He don't have one memory of the mistakes that you made. If you can ever realize one time everything that was against you, everything that you had ever done has been put in the sea of His forgiveness, it'll make you dance and worship God, because you know you ain't headed to hell, but you're headed to a heavenly realm, an eternal realm, a realm of worship and praise. January 1st, 1863. Our president, Abraham Lincoln, he signed a declaration. Signed a declaration. Sister Shirley, so that you could be here this morning, so that you could be in the back, so you brothers can be up front, he signed a declaration. It was the Emancipation Proclamation, that all persons held as slaves within the rebellious states were free. They were free. They were free from the taskmasters. They were free to return back to their families. They were free from everything they've ever done. They may have been pulled away from Africa and away from their families, but now they were free. They could go and start their own family. They could start over. They could worship God. They could sit in a pew right here with us this morning. Why? He signed the Emancipation Proclamation, and ain't no able-bodied slave was willing to go back to slavery. They could throw down their home. They could throw down their cigarettes, they can throw down that immoral life, and they can live for God. The prophet God would tell us when they knew on a certain day that this Emancipation Proclamation was signed and they were going to be free, they didn't drag in. No, they didn't drag into the house of God. No, you know what they did? They went to the mountain. And they knew at sunrise their freedom was coming. When the S-U-N rose, they were declared free. And some of the strongest ones, they climbed to the top of the mountain. And they waited there all night long. But when the sun began to crest and they seen those first rays of light, they began to shout back down, we're free! We're free. We're free. What happened in this day? God sent a prophet and he climbed to the highest points. And he when the S.O. wind broke the eastern sky. And he came with a word. He shouted down to us, "You're free. You're free this morning. You're free to worship. You're free. You're free." And every man who heard it shouted down. Shouted down until it finally came into the camp. Oh, Grandma, been a slave all her life, but now she was free. Oh, young daughter who was thinking she was going to live a life of bondage and had to cook meals and do this and be somebody's servant. Now she was free. Old son out there, there may be no whips on his back yet. But oh, he knew one day if he did something wrong, they would slash his back with the whip and command him to work. But now he was free. He could throw his hoe down. He could throw his cigarettes down. He could throw his past down. Those things were no longer held against him. I'm here to tell you this morning, sons and daughters of God, we are free. We are free this morning. We are God's free people. Don't let man take you back to bondage. Don't let man put his whips on you. Don't let man put his ideas on you. God sent us a prophet, and he climbed, and he climbed, and he reached up into the rims of this word, and he dug out. He dug out a message.
Yes.
Oh, but it's so simple. We are free. Oh, they want to complicate it. They want to complicate it. They want to misinterpret what he said. It was simple. We are free. We are free. Oh, let me get to a place where we can bring this down to a close. Notice 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. Paul said, "Who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament? Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." The Spirit. Now there's the claim, and I'm not throwing off on any ministry, any man, any church. It's the spirit that we're coming against because the church is under persecution. And it's a persecution from the inside. And so now the claim is we have the revealed word.
Come on.
You have the revealed word and your church is dead.
What's wrong?
You have the revealed word and nobody's being healed. Nobody's being delivered. Nobody's being set free. And you just have the revealed word, and people sit there and they nod because you have a PowerPoint, but no power to point to. We have, Brother Joseph, the revealed word. I certainly believe that. I certainly agree with that. We had the revealed word plus the Spirit. Because what does the Spirit do? You have to marry the two together. Do you marry the Spirit and the Word together, and the Spirit will make the Word live. The Spirit will make the Word manifest. I gave you testimony after testimony after testimony. That wasn't just head knowledge. That wasn't just Word. That was the Spirit that was mixing in with the Word that by His stripes I am healed. And cancer had to leave. And alopecia had to leave. And prodigal sons had to be restored. Why? Because we took the Spirit of God and we married it to the Word. And we said, "Lord, if this is your Word, if this is your Spirit, then signs and wonders will follow them that believe." And God came on the scene. And he shouted amen behind it, and it manifested hair in a little girl's head, and it manifested cancer leaving the body, and it manifested in the Son of God staggering his way to the altar and giving his heart to the Lord. And it manifested in a 19-year gay guy, homosexual, surrendering his heart to the Lord. That wasn't head knowledge. That wasn't intellectual understanding. That wasn't stacking quotes. That was preaching the gospel. So what does it mean, Brother Joe? Can I go just a few more minutes? What does it mean, Brother Joe, to preach the gospel? Good, I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4. This is Paul. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words and PowerPoint presentations of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand. Notice, your faith does not stand in the wisdom of man. Because there's some great men. And man, they can put it together. But when you leave, you're like, wow, I didn't get none of that. Man, they put this quote with this quote and this quote with that quote and this scripture with that. I'm like, that was really good. But you don't have nothing to fight the devil with. Because it's all here. But he said, but that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Let me just say this. I would rather you not be able to remember one quote. I would rather you not be able to recite one scripture, but yet the power of God manifest in your life. Because this Bible says, I'll give you what to say in that day. Your life will manifest. So what is preaching of the gospel? You asked that question, right? Then y'all asked that question. Some of y'all like, would you just hurry up? Let me just tell you what the prophet of God said in the true vine and the false vine. Preach the gospel means to demonstrate the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me give you some more. The word made manifest is the gospel. The gospel came to us not through word only, but through the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost to demonstrate the power to make the gospel live. Then, notice now, when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he said, go into all the world and demonstrate. Oh, I like that. Demonstrate the power of the gospel. Taking the word and what it says and show the people what it says and then make it manifest to them. That's preaching the gospel. That's letting the people know that the same things he did, you can do also. The same word that they manifested, you're to manifest too, church. That's preaching the gospel. Let's look at Azusa Street just for a brief second. Now, there is a lot of criticism. People don't want to go back to Pentecost. But when we look at Azusa Street, Brother Bram says now, this is the mark of the beast. About 50 years ago in Azusa Street in California, a bunch of people worshiping God. Methodism had got so formal, so indifferent, until they didn't want none of that. What they call fanaticism, no shouting, no amen, no nothing in the church. They thought that education and reformation would reform the people to a place that they didn't need any of that stuff anymore. Oh my, that spirit's still alive. Man, it sounds like a lot of message churches today. That done got so formal, so indifferent, we don't need a shout. I was in a church one time, we had a youth meeting. I wasn't preaching, I was there supporting it. And I was actually praying for a young girl up, and we had an altar call. And was praying for the young girl. And she began to shout and let go. And the pastor came over to us. And he kind of moved me out of the way. And said, now you don't have to act like that. Shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down. Shut down the moving of the Spirit. We were me and Brother Aaron Oglesby. Me and Brother Aaron Oglesby, we had a prayer line one time. We had a young girl come in the prayer line. She was dealing with a suicidal spirit. And we just saw her at Oklahoma camp, and I told Brother Timothy, he was there preaching. I said, she's dealing with a suicidal spirit. I didn't know. The Lord told me that. But she never got dealt with there at the camp. And so she came to our meeting, and she come in the prayer line. And me and Brother Aaron began to deal with her, and we just began to discern. The Lord discerned her heart, discerned what was going on, and she got free from it. And she came to the altar afterwards, and she just, man, it was a joy, a jubilee. She was free, and now she was enjoying her freedom. You know what happened? Her grandmother, because her grandmother, we didn't act like that, or they didn't act like that when she was that age. And she came up there, and she said, you need to get a hold of yourselves. Get up from off that altar and come back to your seat. She shut down on the moving of the Spirit. And now that young girl is out in the world living with this man and that man and that man. But the grandmother's got straight in her doctrine. But the work has already been done. And they shut down the moving of the Spirit because it wasn't done in their day. I say, don't you call Holy Roller if they're doing something that you should be doing. What we find here
Brother Bram said the true picture. How many knows what the modern church is? We're the modern message church. We got a nice church. We got nice people. We sit all attentive. We're real dignified. And if you're just quiet enough, you can hear a pin drop. You say, Brother Joe, we're the modern church. We've moved past gifts. We moved past all the shouting and all the snorting and crying and dancing. And we have the revealed word today, Brother Joe. I just wish you would come up into a higher in experience and put all your little Pentecostalism aside. Brother Bam says now, this is 1965 for those that need it after 63. Because, you know, there's a movement there too. He said the true picture of the modern church today says she doesn't, the modern church doesn't want any of these here screaming, shouting, tongue speaking, Acts 2:38, youngins around her. Oh, yeah, yeah. She don't want any of that whooping. Man, that's kind of like. I like to whoop a little bit. Whoop, there it is. Whooping and crying and screaming, amen, hallelujah. Why? Such a child would immediately put her out of her denomination. Because they had one like that in one of them churches. Why? They'd throw her out right quick. Why? You letting such stuff as this go along? He says, you see, she's pregnated with something because she's bringing forth members all the time. But she don't want none of them screaming, hollering, blabbering, Acts 2:38, miserable creatures that she thinks they are. It would certainly embarrass her. It would ruin her and her educated, ethical, scientific society church that she belonged to. They would throw her out at the next council. But notice now, she don't want to be pregnated with the word. Because that's the only kind the word can bring forth. What did you just say, Brother Joe? No, that was your prophet. The only kind the word brings forth is those that whoop, those that shout, those that blabber, those that dance, those that scream, those that snot. Oh, that's a pitiful mess. That's what the word produces. But we don't want that today. See, Brother Bram says, no intellectual church joint, creed going, bobbed hair, painted face. There's no such things as that in all of it. You don't find that in the word.
Come on,
so we got the revealed word. But where's the Holy Ghost? See, Azusa from 1906 to 1915 had a real moving of the Spirit. They had a real moving of the Spirit. You know what they did? Let me tell you what they did. They went out into the street corners. They walked the railroad tracks. They picked up grain of corn at a time, and they mashed it into a platter and made corn cakes to feed the babies. They preached the gospel across the country. They were thrown in jail. They were made fun of. They were rejected. They were called holy rollers. They were called Pentecostal fanatics. But they had a genuine moving of the Spirit. See, if you take the restoration of the gifts away, then you have to take sanctification of Wesley away. And you have to take justification of Luther away. But because you can't have the progression without starting at Luther, then Wesley, then the restoration, and then the indwelling of the Spirit. So we find today, church, that men today want to take away the restored gifts. Well, we got the giver. I believe that. But if you got the giver, don't the gifts follow the believer? If you got the belief, the giver of the gifts, shouldn't the gifts manifest? There's 9 spiritual gifts in the church that should be in operation in every church. 9 spiritual gifts, and you don't want them to operate? What are you afraid of? Why are you so worried about the moving of the Spirit? And we find today that they want to put you back in bondage. Tie your hands. Tie your feet. Tie your mouth. So you can't raise your hand. And you can't shout. And you can't dance. And you can't be free. The Bible says for us to enjoy the liberties wherein Christ has made us free. My, to enjoy the liberties. Notice now. He says, go tell them. Remember, evidently something had left their mind. This is in Ephesian church age. They had forgotten something. He told them to turn back in their minds to their point of origin. The origin of the first age was Pentecost. They had fallen from it. They had forgotten the glory and the wonder of it. It was a time to go back in their mind and then in reality back to when they could say, for me to live is Christ. Back to the purity when Ananias and Sapphira were dealt with. Back to the gate of beautiful. Oh, what a reproach it is to drift from God and the countenance of those acts that defile his name. Let those who named a name depart from sin and keep their vessel pure for God. Pentecost is a celebration of freedom. And I'll bring it to a close with this. Brother Bram says now, this is Hebrews chapter 7. It's got to a place when you go to churches, it's either so cold, formal and dry, to the spiritual thermometer will go 50 below zero. To people set just like a wart on a pickle. Just as sour and indifferent and puckered up. Come on, pickles. Shake that wart off. Puckered up, and if you hear somebody way back there in the corner might grunt out a little amen once in a while like it hurts them, all of them will stretch their necks back like geese to look around to see what took place. He goes, oh, you know that's the truth. Now notice, let me finish this. Let me flip this now. And he comes back. He says, now on the other side, you get a bunch of nonsense, a bunch of fleshly emotion. Emotions carrying on, and the true word of God finally has got to a place to where they can seldom hear it. Because it's turned all emotion. And the true word of God, the true preaching of the gospel, has gotten to a place where they can barely hear it. He said, the old middle of the road gospel. That's the light to the path. Hallelujah. The blood of the Lamb, the love of God that separates us from the things of the world. He said, Theology and such an education has took the place of an old-fashioned mourner's bench. We used to have a mourner's bench. We took it down to the basement. You don't use it no more. That's the truth. The fire that ever had, it goes down. All the fire we had on the altar, we put it in the stove. People are afraid of fire. How many of you have ever been burnt by fire? How'd it feel? How'd you sound? No, you like me when you got burned. Ow! You know how James Brown used to do it? Wow, I feel good. No, you don't feel good. You just got burned. Ow! Yeah, you shout. Let me tell you, there's a fire here in this word. There's a power here in this word. And let me tell you, you can't get touched by that fire and not know it. You can't get touched by the Holy Ghost and not know it. It'll put a shout in you that you didn't know you had. It'll make you dance and jump back and praise God like you didn't know you had. You say, well, Brother Branham, I'm afraid a little bit of that fanaticism. That I'll be fanatic. A little wildfire. Your prophet said, I'd rather have a little bit of wildfire than no fire at all. He said, sure I would. I could put up with a little fanaticism before I could put up with something that's icy and stiff and starch and ungodly. How can God move into a place like that? Go into a place in the spiritual thermometer registering 100 below zero. Oh my. So let's look at the book of Acts just for a second. Acts 2, we're closing. Musicians, make your way, please. I don't want to be demanding. Peter standing up, this is chapter 2 at verse 14. I'm right on time. Nope, I'm out of time. Okay. We're closing. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and he said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing that it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that. This here is the manifestation of what Joel spoke of. This is that. For these are not drunken, but this is that that was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Brother Bram will tell us he's referring to this day. He's referring to this day in the last days. That's our day. And what is supposed to happen in our day? He says, I will pour out my spirit in the last days upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And the young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and handmaids will I pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So we're not trying. We're not trying to work you up in a frenzy. We're not trying to work you up and you get so emotional and so excited. And when you leave the church, you don't know what you're excited about. You don't have what you need to fight the enemy off with. But no, we don't want you to just be running and jumping and shouting, but you don't know what you're running and jumping and shouting about. See, our desire is to show the people of the last day that in fact you're free. You are free to respond to the word any way you choose. Some of you will shout. Some of you will shake. Some of you will cry. Some of you will dance. Some of you will run. Some of you will just bow your head and worship. I'm not trying to work you up. I'm not saying everybody's got to be a carbon copy. I'm just saying when you've been touched by the fire, you cannot not respond. And I'm here to tell you, church, we are free. Free to worship God any way you choose. Don't let some man put you in his idea that you have to worship God this way. Because you don't. You worship God the way God leads you to. Not everybody is going to be a Sister Shirley. Not everybody is going to be a Brother Joseph. Not everybody is going to be you. But you worship the way God leads you to worship. And when you feel the fire come, respond. Respond to it. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. So in Pensacola, Florida, several years ago, play me something. Give me some preacher chords. Y'all can do that, right? Yeah. All right. She's looking over at you. Somebody do it. Y'all don't want me to play. Ooh, not good. Give me some preacher chords. It's all right. We loose. Are you free this morning? Are you free this morning? So several years ago in Pensacola, Florida, they got a naval base in Pensacola, Florida. And they would, come on, play a little bit louder now. I want to be able to hear it. I got to feel it now, Sister Wanda. Come on. Yeah, play it. But they were having drills, anti-terrorism drills, and all these drills. And there was planes swooping down and roaring through the sky. And helicopters flying overhead and ships out in the Gulf. And they were shooting bombs and hand grenades going off and machine guns going off. And let me tell you, people had to find a new way to get to work because the lines were so long. Those people that enjoyed their times out on the ocean, they had to find another route because why? They were doing military drills out in the water there, and people began to complain. People began to write into the paper, all this racket, all this noise. It takes me longer to get to work. It takes me longer to get home. And let me tell you what the base did. The base put up on a sign. It said, pardon the noise. It's just a sound of freedom. I say pardon the noise this morning. It's just a sound of my freedom. It's just a sound. If you don't like that, watch this. I'm free, church. I'm free to worship. It may get a little noisy in here, but we're free. It's just a sound of the people of the Lord worshiping, no longer in bondage. Come on, Brother Mark.
I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. Oh, I'm running for my life. Yes, I'm running for my life. If anybody asks you, what's the matter with me? You tell them I'm saved and I'm saying goodbye. Holy Ghost filled and I've been baptized. And I've got Jesus on inside. I'm running for my life. Hallelujah. I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. Yes, I'm running for my life. If anybody asks you, oh, what's the matter with me? You tell them I'm saved. For my life, hallelujah. Oh, I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. Yes, I'm running for my life. If anybody asks you, oh, what's the matter with me? You tell them I'm saved and I'm saying goodbye. Holy Ghost filled and I've been by glory. Jesus on inside, running for my life. Oh, I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. Yes, I'm running for my life. If anybody asks you, oh, what's the matter with me? You tell them I'm saved and I'm sanctified. Holy Ghost filled and I've been baptized. I've got Jesus, oh hallelujah. I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. Yes, I'm running for my life. If anybody asks you, what's the matter with me? You tell them I'm saved and I'm saying goodbye. Holy Ghost filled and I've been baptized. And I've got Jesus on inside. Running for my life. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm running for my life. 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 Oh, if anybody asks you, what's the matter with me? You tell them I'm saved and I'm sanctified. Holy Ghost filled and I've been baptized. I've got Jesus on inside. I'm running for my life.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Never again. Somebody said with me, never again. I'm not going back. We got freedom. When the word was restored, hallelujah. They sung the songs of Moses. That's deliverance from bondage. And of the Lamb, redemption. Both freedom and redemption. The bride has the spirit and the words. The songs of Moses were deliverance from Egypt's bondage. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad about it? Aren't you glad about it? Praise the Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. Well, now we know we got a white Cadre Diggs. Hallelujah. I think Brother Diggs got some competition. You know, I come across a lot of times when I go places, it's very dignified. So I'm proper, you know. Mama taught me to dress well and make sure my coat's... But when the Holy Ghost hits me, I'll tell you something, I shock some folks. First time I went up to preach to Brother Harold Hildebrandt in Edmonton, Alberta. He said, man, all that fire, you and everything, he said, I'm going to give you $100 if you get my church to move in. Okay, came
came out there all nice, prim, proper. In 2 minutes' time, man, I had the sister dancing. I went over there and stretched my hand to him and said, give me my money. You ought to know me as a young evangelist. Me and brother Homer Fraser, I went to his church, preached for him many times. You know, they're just like us, like your church too. Amen. I got up there, he told the church, he said, me and brother Joseph, we're going to have us a dance-off tonight. We're going to have a hold down, and that boy, I'm going to teach him how to dance. And man, I tell you what, I preached that night. Come the end of the service, me and him had a hold down. So hard, he had to sit down over there. He said, man, I can't believe Brother Joseph outdanced me. God's good. You can cut up in the house of the Lord. I'd rather you dance here than in the dance all out there in the world. You'll feel free today. Praise the Lord. You know all this has been a balance. You know this is the word of God. What a freedom God has given us. I want to do something right quick. With every head bowed, if you were not here last night, would you just lift your hands up? If you were not here last night, just slip your hands up. All right. I'm going to pray for you. I promise I'm going to pray for you. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. Time is against us right now, but I want to have prayer for you. Everyone that wasn't here last night, whatever your needs might be, just hold that need before God. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith over you right now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word has been preached with power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. This is the last day message to the church. The third Exodus coming out of into with the celebration of victory in the lives of the saints of God. Today, Lord, we lift our hands up. Lord Jesus, typifying that we've been free from bondage. We drop every hole and every habit and every sickness and every, oh God, every temptation of the enemy, every addiction, today we drop them in the name of Jesus. And we shout to you, Father, that we are free in the name of Jesus Christ. May every hand that's been lifted today be set free by the power of the Holy Ghost. May every need be met, every sickness, oh God, be healed in the name of Jesus. Every disease be tamed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Those that are suffering with addictions or complexes or oppression, in the name of Jesus Christ, I blow the trumpet of freedom in Jesus' precious name. We give you praise and glory and honor in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the church says, amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering. Give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. Don't tell me God didn't thunder in this place. Amen. God thunder in the house of God this morning. You believe it? He said he'll take these 7 unknown thunders to wake the bride up. Amen. God has been thundering in his church. Amen. Brother Joe, thunder today. The bride's been woke up by the word of God. You believe it? We're not waiting for the manifestation of it. It's now glory. The Holy Spirit has thundered in this church. What a blessing. What a blessing. How many enjoy the weekend meetings? God bless you. Appreciate you. Brother Joe's a keeper, isn't he? We certainly appreciate him. Let's be in prayer for him. He was out in Flagstaff, and they had 13 inches of snow there, so he wasn't able to preach, and somehow that cold got into his lungs. Satan was trying to fight him for coming here, but we believe that the Lord strengthened his voice, and we just thank God for him. You know, it's painful to preach like that. He's given a lot of his energy and his strength this weekend, and my sister Jessica, they've driven a long way to be here with us, but we want to say how much we appreciate you both coming. Amen. You're always welcome here at our church. I think you feel at home as you would yours. Amen. We have the same Spirit, same Holy Ghost. We believe in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. So let's be in prayer for them, and that the Lord will just continue to bless their ministry. You didn't hear the rest of the story. You know, COVID sort of. Brother Joe is a very successful CFO of a big corporation in the medical field, but COVID shut all that down. You know, God has a way of just forcing his man to where he needs to be. Had it not been for all of that, he would not have surrendered probably to be full-time in the ministry. But that doesn't mean he can live the way he used to live, because, you know, he had lived a very prosperous life and God had been good to him. He still has. But I believe that when you give to the Lord, he will not take from you. So we just want to continue praying that God will bless them and lead them and guide them as they go to minister to the bride of Christ everywhere. We from this church certainly appreciate them and stand beside them and want to support them. So God bless them and bless each and every one of you for your efforts. Let's remember the service is coming up. Those of you online, God bless you. Shalom to you until the next service. We certainly appreciate you. I want to say this to you on Wednesday.